Next, Honorable Arun Hemachandra, you have been allocated 9 minutes.
Honorable Presiding Member, Sri Lanka is passing through an important period of rebuilding. Under the leadership of President Andrakumar Dissanayake and the National People's Power Government, we are working to strengthen both the institution of the state and the foundations of our economy. There is still much more to be accomplished, but there is also progress that this House should recognize with confidence. One important area is corruption. Corruption is not simply about one person taking public money. It affects the entire development process. It increases cost. It weakens institutions. It damages public confidence. And it makes honest businesses less willing to compete and invest. Therefore, our objective must be larger than investigating individual incidents. We must create institutions where transparency, accountability, and integrity become normal features of public administration. For example, yesterday we witnessed a very unusual situation wherein a news was reported earlier, weeks back, in regards to money laundering situation. And also yesterday there were a number of arrests in regards to those. So these are part and parcel of the reforms that we are making at the moment. So we are highly committed to establish a very transparent and a very corruption-free business environment. That is the direction President Andrakumar Dissanayake and this government have established. We are applying the same determination to organize crimes and narcotics. Criminal networks cannot be allowed to become alternative centers of power. We cannot allow any mini-governments to function in this country. Sri Lanka has strengthened international cooperation to locate and return suspects who have operated from overseas. You can see a number of suspects have been brought back to Sri Lanka, and there are a number of suspects more to be brought into the country in the upcoming days and weeks. But strength must always operate within the rule of law. Investigations must follow with evidence. Accused persons are entitled to due process, and guilt must ultimately be determined by independent courts. That is the difference between power and the rule of law. The Easter Sunday attacks also remain an important national responsibility. Families are still waiting for answers. The government has a duty to ensure that every credible lead is examined and that the evidence is followed, and that no political consideration stands between the victims and the truth. We should neither predetermine conclusions nor allow serious unanswered questions to disappear with time. Accountability must come through credible investigation and the proper administration of justice. Alongside rebuilding institutions, we have protected the economic recovery. We know what Sri Lanka experienced since 2022. The sovereign default, severe foreign exchange shortages, fuel queues, shortages of medicine and essential goods, businesses struggling to survive. With NPP government assumed office, the stabilization program had strengthened even further. We have always acknowledged that our responsibility was to protect a fragile recovery and move it towards something more sustainable. Sri Lanka recorded real GDP growth of 5% in 2025, while the IMF said in May 2026 that program performance remained generally strong and that all end December 2025 quantitative performance criteria had been met. Stability is important, but stability is not development. Our next stage must be production, investment, exports, employment, technology, and greater integration with the global economy. In 2025, Sri Lanka achieved a significant milestone in our economic recovery. I repeat, in 2025, Sri Lanka achieved a significant milestone in our economic recovery. Our merchandise exports reached approximately US$13.6 billion, the highest annual merchandise export earnings recorded in the country's history. With merchandise exports and selected service exports considered together, Sri Lanka's total export earnings exceeded US$17.2 billion. This was not growth confined to one sector. Our apparel and textile sector continue to remain the largest export contributor, generating nearly US$4.9 billion. Tea exports exceeded US$1.5 billion, while coconut-based export recorded exceptional growth, reaching more than US$1.2 billion. At the same time, sectors such as ICT, BPM, services continued to expand their contribution to foreign exchange earnings. These figures are important because exports are not simply statistics. Every additional dollar earned through exports means more opportunities for our industries, more employment for our people, greater foreign exchange stability, and stronger confidence in the Sri Lankan economy. After facing one of the most difficult economic crises in our history, reaching a historic high in export demonstrates that Sri Lanka is moving in the right direction. But we should not be satisfied with breaking one record only. Our next challenge is to diversify our export markets, increase value-added production, support SMEs and local entrepreneurs, attract export-oriented investment, and ensure that Sri Lankan products and services become more competitive across the world. Our objective must be very clear. Sri Lanka should become a strong export-driven economy with export-driven economy capable of earning its way forward rather than repeatedly depending on borrowing.
Honourable Member, you have 2 more minutes.
Thank you. The export performance of 2025 shows that this transformation is possible. Now our responsibility is to rebuild on that momentum and take Sri Lankan exports to an even higher level. Honourable Presiding Member, our recent decision demonstrates how these different areas of government policy can support our economic interest. On 10th of July 2026, Sri Lanka introduced regulations prohibiting importation of goods mined, produced or manufactured wholly or partly through forced labour. Forced labour is, first of all, an issue of human dignity. Sri Lanka has long-standing international commitments against it. We ratified ILO Convention No. 29 in 1950, Convention No. 105 in 2003, and the 2014 Protocol to Convention No. 29 in 2019. What has changed is the nature of international trade. Forced labour is now directly connected to market access, customs regulations, corporate responsibility, and global supply chains. The words wholly or partly are important. A garment may be manufactured in Sri Lanka, but its cotton, yarn, fabric, chemicals, accessories, and packaging may originate in several different places. So modern buyers increasingly ask not simply where was this product made, but what happened through the supply chain. Our parliamentary references note recognize exactly this reality. And under the new regulations, customs can require documentary evidence, declarations of certificates, or...
Honourable Member, certifications your time relating is to, up.
Just 1 more minute. Relating to the production of imported goods. This gives Sri Lanka an opportunity. So, Honourable Presiding Member, this is a very valuable, very important bill that we have produced. So we will make sure that by making use of this opportunity, we will create more opportunities in the global trade environment and position Sri Lanka in a very important place in the global supply chain. Thank you very much.